The following is a KVON Sports presentation. On a Friday night, from Napa, California, it's Big Game Time. Good evening, everyone, and welcome into a night of football action. It's a doubleheader tonight, as we'll be broadcasting on KVON both the JV and the varsity games, as we have Napa High against Vintage tonight in the Little Big Game, as well as Big Game number 46. And it's all sent your way with the good wishes of the Napa Valley Sports Boosters. I'm Ira C. Smith on behalf of the Napa Valley Sports Boosters, joining Kent Fry, who is a former coach, a former player, and now joins us here in the broadcast booth.
Well, Ira, this is a fun night for the kids because, first of all, you know, they work hard all year long, all summer long, prepare for the football season. And in the back of their mind, they're always thinking about the big game, the big Napa Vintage game, and it's in the back of their name. But they know each other. These kids know each other very well from growing up, going to schools and so forth. And so they've been, you know, keeping this low-key throughout the whole season. But now it's come down to the big game. This is for the bragging rights, and they're geared up. Trust me, they're geared up. And in the little big game like this, these kids have probably never played in this front of a big crowd like this. So it's even that much more exciting. The adrenaline is pumping, and they're just going to have a great time tonight. So look for some fun action among the little big game, especially with both teams doing well, and especially the Vintage JV's doing a great year so far this year.
Well, the Vintage JV's come in with a 5-win, 1-loss, and 1-tie record. They're unbeaten in league play at 3-0. The Napa High Indians are coming in looking for their first win in the JV season, but they've only played 4 games that we have had accounts from, and they were 0-4 in that. But we have Napa High in its 121st year, the Vintage Treasures in their 46th year, and the series between these JV teams. Napa has won 30 times. Vintage has won 15 times. But Vintage did win last year 14-6. Napa won the previous 6 years in a row, including the 2015 27-0 victory. Kyle Shue is in his 6th year as the JV coach for the Vintage Crushers. This is his 8th year overall. He had a previous term of a couple years. And Bumper LaRue not only is the JV coach, but he also is the freshman coach. Double duty for Bumper.
Yes, he does. He's just a glutton for punishment, you know. And it was pretty funny at the big game luncheon yesterday hosted by the Kiwanis Club, Ira, as we asked the Napa graduates to stand up, and then we asked the Vintage graduates to stand up, and of course Bumper's a Vintage graduate, and he had to stand up as far as a Vintage graduate, and here he coaches both freshman and JV Napa High football teams. It's great.
Before the freshman game, I had a chance to talk to him about that scenario.
Well, Bumper, double duty this year, freshman and JV. How do you do it?
It's a lot of work. I got a good staff with me. We just put our nose to the grindstone and go show up every day and keep the attitudes up for the kids.
And you have to keep the kids separate so you know which ones are on which team.
Yeah, it's tough. We do practice together this year. I think it helped out a lot because the freshmen get to see the JV speed, and it helps. I think it helps a lot.
How are the younger people coming along as far as Napa program?
You're talking about our freshman program?
Yeah,
they're doing really well. It's a great group of kids. They've all stepped up to be leaders, and they follow each other's role.
And those are the comments from Bumper, as he's had an exciting player to watch on that freshman team that was at the quarterback position named Brock Bowers.
He comes from good heritage there, Ira. You know, his dad, Warren Bowers, was, of course, an all-around standout at Vintage High School in 1987, or 86 and 87. Went on to play at Utah State on a full-ride scholarship, and he's still a big boy, his dad. So Brock comes from great football genes, if you will, and he knows the game from his father, obviously. He knows it mentally, which is more important than knowing it physically. It's one thing to execute out there physically, but when you know the game inside mentally, that just makes you a better football player and gives you an edge over your opponent.
I also had a chance to talk to Billy Smith, who was the freshman head coach for football at Vintage High School.
Oh, what a great freshman season you guys had this year. To what do you put that success to?
You know, these kids, again, they just came day one. As soon as they were allowed to start working out, Coach Dave worked those guys in the weight room. They worked hard every day. They were pushed. And, you know, we have some very good skilled players that are young freshmen that are going to be here in a couple of years. You're going to be seeing them on the field Friday night.
Now, you seem to have had some pretty good balance, too, as far as your talent.
Exactly. We had some good wide receivers, Reed McCaffrey, Sammy Neal, pretty good wide receivers with good speed. And with the running back attack that we have with Cavanero, Avalos, Jacob Aaron was a tailback, quarterback. And again, Jacob Aaron can throw the football. It makes things a lot easier, and it's hard to prepare for. So I think we are pretty one-to-one in as far as pass touchdowns and running touchdowns. So it's hard to prepare for us.
You look to many of the freshmen to get into the JV action tonight?
We hope some of the guys will get in. It's a little different story. These kids for the JVs, they worked hard. It's kind of their time, and they get the first shot at it, and I think that we'll have a few freshmen filter in there tonight.
And those are the comments of Billy Smith. He's coached on all levels of football at Vintage High School.
Yeah, Billy's coached both, you know, baseball and football. You know, we're just waiting for him to get that basketball coaching going, you know. But he has. He has been on all three levels, so he has lots of experience, and he's been around the program a long time, and you need that good stability there.
We'll be back in a moment and take a look at tonight's little big game as the Vintage Crushers are the home team tonight. And the crowd is starting to come in here at Memorial Stadium. You still have plenty of time to get over here to see the big game. Not only that, but the festivities that go on surrounding the big game.
Absolutely, Ira. And that's one of the fun parts as a working with you up here in the booth with you and Dino is just watching all the festivities that take place. You know, when you're playing and as a coach, you don't really notice it quite as much, but it's more of a distraction sometimes with all the noise. But now, sitting up here, you see all the banners and the balloons and the bands, of course, and so forth, and it's just a lot of fun to watch, and it's just great.
All right, well, introducing the rest of our crew in addition to Kent. We have our sideline reporter, Jacob Grant, and he'll be up close to the action.
Yeah, it should be fun. It's always fun to watch big game from the field. I've been on it a couple of times, and the crowd starts to go wild. You can see the raw humanity in the stands that is excited about the game. They're cheering, they're loud, they're angry if something goes wrong. And, you know, it's fun to watch them rush on the field after their team wins.
Well, I still get excited, too, and I've been over 40, around 40 of the big games. And Dino Alessio's been to a bunch of them as well, and he's our statistician.
Yeah, I think this is going to be my 13th big game that I've helped broadcast. And, of course, I went to a lot of them as a fan before then. And Jacob's absolutely right. The excitement is electric. What I always remember is the sound. If somebody breaks away for a long run, the screaming that comes from the stands, you'd think that we were at a carnival or something. It's just awesome. Everybody is very enthusiastic, the kids, the parents, and it's always a great time. I know it's our biggest listening audience of the year when we do this game. Everybody wants to know how it turns out and who's going to get those bragging rights. Personally, I'm very pleased because I remembered to bring two of all my score sheets tonight because there have been a couple of years that I only brought one. I forgot we were doing two games, and I ended up having to keep track of the JV stats on the back of a paper napkin or something. But I'm all set to go. I got plenty of pencils and ready to scribble away, and hope we have a good JV and a great varsity game.
Well, Dino, that's well said. And Kent Fry, as you well know, it doesn't matter as far as records at all. The Vintage freshmen had gone into that freshman game last Thursday without a loss, and Napa came in and beat them. And so that runs from the freshmen on up through the seniors.
Absolutely, Ira. You throw the records right out the window when it comes to this game. You could be 0-9 or 9-0. It doesn't matter. Anything can happen in this game, and both teams come to play. And so don't just think you have a better record than your opponent here is going to get you an automatic win. It's not that way. Both teams are very evenly matched, and the emotion plays a big part in this contest.
Huge, a very special game. So we'll be back, and as we said, take a closer look at the two teams when we continue here on the Little Big Game, number 46, our countdown to kickoff. Well, we're back here at Memorial Stadium getting ready for the Little Big Game leading up to tonight's varsity action on Big Game number 46. And, Ken, as we look out on the field, we see the two teams loosening up. And Vintage last year had on their freshman roster 61 players. And looking on the sidelines now, it looks like most of them came out for the JV teams as well. A really large number of players on that roster.
Yes, there is, Ira. And that pleases Coach Kyle Shue to no end. It's great when you have lots of reserves and, you get a key injury, 20 year starters, and you got someone else lined up right behind that person. And even two or three deep. So it's pleasing to see. It helps makes the program just that much better. And it's and Coach Dylan Leach also sees this, Ira. Believe me, he sees it, and he's very pleased.
Well, we've had the captains meet at the center of the field, and let's go to our isolated eye, Dino Alessio, on that toss of the coin.
So first I'll give you the results of the coin toss. It was Vintage winning the toss and electing to defer their option to the second half. So Vintage is going to kick off. Napa is going to receive the ball. Napa is going to be defending the south goal. We're having the national anthem now on a recording.
And we'll be back in a moment with the further countdown to kickoff after our national anthem. Welcome back into Memorial Stadium. We're just about set for the start of the Little Big Game. Dino Alessio, tell us about the captains for this JV action.
So the captains for the Napa Indians were number 16, Kyle Jazicki, number 44, Brandon Bledsoe, number 53, Jesse Dasa, and number 68, well, gosh, I don't have a 68 here on my... Oh, no, there it is, Austin Mishi. For the Vintage Crushers, their captains were number 13, Jeremy Bradley, number 19, Bryce Ede, number 28, Mauricio Castro, and number 73, Dominic Smith, and the two teams are lining up for the kickoff, Ira.
As we're just about set for the Vintage Crushers, doing the kicking is Joey Russo, as he's teased it up there at the 40-yard line. Napa getting set to see if they can get the return. It's a left-footed kick, and coming over after it is Bailey Lorenzen, and there's a flag as it goes out. The ball goes out of bounds prior to getting toward the end zone. It's just kind of a little pooch-type kick.
Yeah, they're just trying to pooch it over that front line, Ira, and over the second four. Vintage or Napa lined up in a five on the front, then four right immediately behind them. They're just trying to pooch it over those front nine guys there. And the ball rolled out of bounds.
Yeah, an illegal procedure there, an offside against the Vintage Crusher. So that'll take the ball out to the 35-yard line. Bob Reeves is the referee, and his wife, Kathy Reeve, is going to be the referee in the next game. So we have a husband and a wife combination for this action. So Napa High has the football at their own 35-yard line as we're set for the first play from scrimmage, as Bob Reeve is the umpire, Rob Lopez is the umpire, Kathy Reeves the head linesman, and the first play they try to go off tackle and get maybe a yard or two, not much more than that, as Seth Ponciano, a sophomore, carried the ball for a short gain, and here we go, we're underway.
Ira, that was big defensive tackle. Dominic Smith, one of the captains, playing that nose tackle for Vintage. He just stopped him cold right there at the line of scrimmage and only got about a 1-yard gain out of that.
Sophomore Cole Rasmussen is the quarterback. Sends out wide to the right side. Justin Barnes, a wide out to the left side. I formation, backfield. The tailback tries to carry the ball, but he is stuffed and loses some yardage on the play as Jaden DeJarmo was there to meet him and stop him for a loss.
And boy, did he meet him, Ira. DeJarmo did a great job. Vintage is playing in that 5-2. Five down linemen, three down interior linemen, two outside backers, if you will. They call it a 5-2, and just playing real strong defense right now. That interior lineman, Ira, just doing a great job.
Third down and 9 yards to go. They have to get out to the 45-yard line. They have it at the 36-yard line. And the quarterback, Rasmussen, tries to take it off the left side without too much protection there. And ran into a bit of trouble there in the name of Avery Hall.
And Ira, we've named all three of the interior linemen for Vintage on those three plays there. They each took a turn with the tackle there, DeJarmo and Avery Hall, and then big Dominic Smith. So those three are going to be instrumental here, obviously, in this little big game.
Travis Brayton will be punting, gets back inside of his 30-yard line to get a good snap. Right-footed punt, soars down, and watching it roll is Albert Zavala. The sophomore is going to go back, picks it up, out to the 10, the 15, puts his head down, dives forward across the 20, out to about the 24-yard line.
So not a bad return there. He had to go back and chase that ball. It was just bouncing all over the place. He's actually able to scoop it up, running the other way, and then turn around and get a sizable gain on that.
Crushers have the ball at their own 24-yard line, heading toward that south end zone, a 58-yard punt and a 19-yard return as the Crushers now come up with Jeremy Bradley handing off, trying the right side, sprinting out there and getting out across the 25 to the 30, and then a kind of a gang tackle forced him out of bounds. Ball carried
Mauricio Castro.
Castro, he's a sophomore. Maurice.
They must like that. The tailbacks must like that number 28. Ira, as we know, James Robert wears that number for the varsity.
Yeah, boy, is he a nice-looking football player, too. Does a lot for the varsity team. Out wide left is Logan Bartlett. Tight end on the right side. Hand off to the fullback who just plunges ahead and gets good yardage out to about the 37-yard line as Bryce Eade, a sophomore, picks up a first down for the Vintage Crushers.
And that was a nice little play there, just a little quick inside trap, handing it off to the near back, the fullback. Defense expecting the tailback to carry that ball, so nice play call from Coach Kyle Shue.
Jeremy Bradley getting under his center there with the I formation backfield, gives to the fullback once again, and nothing opened up that time for Bryce Eade. He is dropped for no gain on the play.
Napa JVs, they're also playing a 5-2, if you will, Ira, and that time that was Jesus Pimentel from his linebacker spot, or actually defensive end, making that stop.
Bartlett comes to the sideline now for the Vintage Crushers. The quarterback, Jeremy Bradley, is right under center and still has the I formation, and he gets to the tailback this time as Castro goes across the 40, hit and driven back there with Jesse Dessa, who is the guy that plays center on the varsity, or on the, we should say, the JV offense, coming in on the defensive side of the football that time.
And Ira, that was a good push by the Vintage offensive line to get five good tough yards here. Both teams just trying to pound the ball on the ground here. We haven't seen one up in the area as of yet.
Third and five as the pitch again goes back to Castro. Turns the corner, gets across the 45. Looks like he has a first down. Boom, he's knocked out of bounds just shy of midfield.
And boy, what a great effort by Mauricio Castro. He was stopped about a yard short of the first down and then gave an extra second effort, was able to gain two more yards for the first down.
So the Crushers still have the ball in their own territory, but it's at the 48-yard line, heading toward that south end zone, as we mentioned, and the ball is spotted at the right side hash marks as they come up here with a first down and 10 to go from the I formation. Bradley, the quarterback, hands off. They go to the left side. Breakthrough and still holding on the football down to the 40-yard line of the Napa Indians goes Bryce Eade.
And Vintage came out that time. They had their wide receiver in tight, Ira slot back just inside of him. And they pulled the left guard to kick out, and Eade ran up underneath him for a nice gain.
A 12-yard pickup on the play, Kent, as we're inside of 5 minutes to go in the first quarter. Vinny's Crusher's trying to sustain a drive. Jacob Aaron on the sideline, a freshman who might be getting some work at quarterback here, talking with Kyle Hsu there for a moment. The handoff again to the tailback, and he's hit behind the line of scrimmage as Castro was looking for a block. And they got blindsided by a defender coming up from behind.
Yeah, Travis Brayton was able to come up and get him from behind, like you said. Almost the same play, Ira, just they didn't kick out with the guard that time. They were just leading up with Eade, the fullback.
And that was a loss of a yard on the play. But they are in Napa territory at the 41-yard line. The Vintage Crusher JVs with the football. Napa getting set here on the defensive side. Put that front three up there in their alignment. And the fullback carries, but gets only about 3 yards. Bryce Eade into about the 38-yard line. This worked another trap play.
Yep, just running back to that inside trap. Bryce Eade almost looks more like a wide receiver wearing that number 19. You would think he'd be more of a receiver, but he's playing that fullback spot for the Vintage Crushers.
Vintage is probably in four-down territory now as they have the ball at about the 38-yard line of the Napa Indians. Inside of 3.5 minutes to go, first quarter, no score in our little JV game. Trip set right side, tight end left side, single setback, quarterback, drop back to pass, getting the race, rolling out to his right, looking downfield, throwing on the run, and it is deflected away, intended for Cutler Lowe, and just a nice defensive play by Napa.
Yeah. Cutler Lowe would like to have that back. He stopped and got on the inside shade of the Napa High defender, and the ball went kind of right between his hands. It was almost a jump ball, but he knows he should have had it, and he wants it back.
Well, let's check on the sideline now with Jacob Grant. How's the weather out there? How do things feel on the sideline?
Well, it's definitely cold. I have the forecast right here. It says for tonight's game at JV, it's going to be 62 degrees with 30% chance of rain, with the wind blowing 8 miles per hour in the south direction.
Trip set right side as they go straight up again with a trap up the middle. Fullback carries. This was on a fourth down play, and Bryce Eade is stopped shy of a first down at the 35-yard line of the Napa Indians.
So good job by Napa High there, Ira. They had kind of a bend but don't break philosophy. They gave up about two or three first downs there, but was able to stop them on that set on downs.
So on downs, it'll be the Napa offense coming onto the field, taking possession of the football at their own 35-yard line. Each team now has had a series of downs without getting a score. We're inside of 3 minutes to go in the first quarter. Napa employs wide out to either side. They also use the I formation backfield, and the tailback carries and gets about five, maybe 6 yards going over that right tackle position.
Boy, what a great kickout block by Chris Fuentes, the fullback on that play.
Now the ball carried out there by Trey Dennis. It's just a freshman, so they have quite a few freshmen on the roster for the Napa Indians that may be seeing action. Jazeki back in as a wide receiver for Napa. Justin Barnes going out wide to the right side. Jazeki coming out to the left side. And the handoff and not going anyplace is Trey Dennis. He was hit in the backfield and stopped for a loss on the play. They have to get out to the 45-yard line for a first down. And he was brought down at the 41-yard line.
And brought down by Breyer Scott, number 17, from his linebacker position. He read that coming, sidestepped the lead block, and then made a nice tackle on the play.
Sending a two wide out situation to the right side, tight end on the left side, two setbacks in the eye. And the handoff goes to the fullback, and he fumbles the football. Crushers recover. He had a first down, but as he fumbled the ball, Albert Savala was able to shoot in there and cover up the football for Crusher possession at the 48-yard line of Napa High.
And Napa was taking a page out of the vintage playbook, Ira, running a little 30 trap, just a little back cutback trap play right over the center. And, boy, he had a nice pickup there. It's too bad he lost the ball there.
A lot of empty seats still available, fans. If you're wondering about coming out to Memorial Stadium, we would encourage you to do so, as at this point you wouldn't have any trouble finding a good seat here at the stadium on an overcast night, but less than a 30% chance for showers. So should be treated to some good football and the proceedings as well. The handoff as the Crushers go right at the Napa defenders on a little angle right side, as it was once again Mauricio Castro getting about 7 yards on the carry, stopped at the 41-yard line of Napa.
Yeah, Mauricio, we're going to be calling that name a lot, Ira. He was just running over right tackle Dominic Smith. We've named his name quite a few times, playing offensive right tackle, defensive nose guard, and that's just right where they ran the ball, right over Smith.
Jeremy Bradley, the quarterback, hands off to his fullback, powers his way again as Bryce Eads gets close to that 35-yard line, about a yard shy of that, but enough for a first down. So the Crushers are moving the football into Napa's 36-yard line now. We're in the final 30 seconds of this first quarter.
Vintage, they get about 3 yards. They need about three or four. They go with that little inside trap, Ira, with Bryce Eads, and they're having great success with it.
They'll have time to get one more play taken out of the way here before the quarter ends. Jeremy Bradley has him up tight formation with a wide out to the right side. Bradley keeps the ball. He's at the 30. He is hit and driven out of bounds there by, it looked like, Calvin Snyder.
Yep, that's exactly who it was, Ira.
9-yard pickup, though, by Jeremy Bradley as the quarter has come to an end. So here at Memorial Stadium, the eighth year for the new stadium, we're at the end of the first quarter in the little big game, the JV action. No score. We'll be back in a moment with quarter number two. You're in tune with KVON, 1440 Napa, California, the voice of the North Bay wine country, and streaming on the internet at KVON.com. Along with Kent Fry, Jacob Grant, Dino Lesio, this is Ira C. Smith. As we get ready now for the second quarter, completing the list of officials tonight, the line judge is Lennon Del Castillo. The back judge is Fred Kaywood. And as we mentioned, Bob Reeve, who is the referee for this game and the crew chief, and his wife, Kathy Reeve, will be the referee for the next game. Kathy is the head linesman for this game, and Bob Reeves will be the line judge for the next game. So the Crushers get the Napa Indians defense to come an encroachment there, just jumping offside, and that'll be a 5-yard penalty against the Indians.
And a first down, Ira.
Yep, that they needed about a foot for a first down.
That's what you do. That's just a nice, easy first down right there. Get a new set of downs. Just go off cadence. Just go on two. Hold your water. Be disciplined. And let the defense jump.
You know, that's one of the good things, too, that the Napa varsity has done. And so Vintage JV is taking advantage of that.
That's right. Napa had great
look
success.
Look who we have at quarterback now, a freshman, as Jacob Aaron has come in to quarterback here at the start of the second quarter. Trip set left side, tight end right side. Aaron will have a single setback behind him as he comes up to the line of scrimmage, looking at first and 10 from the 22-yard line. Takes the snap, pitches it back in the backfield. There is good pursuit and good tackling back there as Mauricio Castro loses yardage on that play. It was not particularly an option play. It was just a straight pitch
just
back.
Just a quick pitch, but you could. I really question that play call, the substitution, if you will. Nothing against Jacob Aaron, but the timing was off. The timing was slow. Here you got Bradley just performing. Bradley's back in. I'd just stay with Bradley right now. Not too sure what they're doing with that.
Well, they're using the same set with the trip set left, tight end right, single setback, and that setback remains Mauricio Castro and the quarterback Jeremy Bradley getting ready to come up behind his line with a loss of 4 yards on the previous play. It's second down and 14 to go. There's a pitch that's complete to the fullback going down inside the 25. The 20 still going. Spins as he's hit at the 15. Gets a couple more yards. Nice play by Bryce Eat and a good run after the reception. And it's going to be down there. It looks like just shy of a first down. Let's go down to Jacob Grant. How close to a first down is that?
Looks about 2 yards short.
I don't know if Jake can hear us or not. It looks about maybe a yard, half a yard. Bryce Eade was the inside receiver that time, Ira, and Bradley just threw a quick pass to him.
Okay, with Jeremy Bradley under center. Faking, keeping the ball, picking up a first down. He's at the 10, goes to the side, angles out to about the 7-yard line, tripped up, falls down to the 6-yard line, may have reached the 5-yard line as the tackle is made.
Nice little play. He just reverses out. He, being Bradley, rides Eade, the fullback, and then just follows him up in the hole. So it's just a design quarterback keep, if you will.
Edgar Navarro, another freshman, has come into that backfield. Jeremy Bradley stays in as the quarterback. Cutler Lowe comes out of the lineup, and a tight formation there for the Crushers. First time they've run the that tight of formation. They hand off again to the tailback, and he slams into the end zone. Mauricio Castro, freshman, and a touchdown for the Crushers. So the Vintage Crusher JV score first in varsity action, Kent. The team to score first has won 37 times, losing just 6, with two of the games ending in ties. That's on the varsity level.
Well, that was a great run by Castro. Just ran over the left tackle, was met with about 4 yards to go, and just carried himself into the end zone.
Left foot kicker sends the ball up, and Joey Russo has the extra point at it, or Russo. And Joey does the punting as well as the kicking. And with 8:26 to go in the second quarter, our score now, the Vintage Crushers of Napa 7, the Napa High Indians 0. Well, as we get set now for the Crusher kickoff, we'd like to salute the Napa Valley Physical Therapy Center and one of the owners, Bruce McCall. This is his 44th big game to provide free coverage of the health and follow-up as far as any injuries for the players.
And, you know, we all love Bruce and everybody out there who's been a part of this Napa High, Vintage High football rivalry knows Bruce to some level. And if your kids have played sports, you know Bruce and the work he does. And we like to give him a bad time, but him and Glenn Hughes and Rob Brandon and the whole staff at Napa Valley Physical Therapy, Ira, you know me, I can't say enough about that outfit. Great community service. They lead the way by example.
Joey Russo getting set to kick off. His left foot and the little pooch kick goes to the 33-yard line. And I guess he had called for a fair catch or something because the whistle blew right away.
Yeah, he actually kind of tried to put his hand up and down real quick, but it's a good call on the official there to call a fair catch.
Well, the Crushers in their possession had it for just over 3 minutes. They went 52 yards in 7 plays to get on the scoreboard first, and now they're on the defense as the Napa High Indians take over on the offense at the 34-yard line in their own territory, and said Yazicki out wide to the right side with Lorenzen going out to the left side. A single setback there with the snap of the ball. There was the whistle. So Cole Rasmussen, the quarterback, got the snap, and then it's going to be a 5-yard penalty against Napa. Little false start there against the Indians. Just underway now here in the second quarter with inside of 8.5 minutes to go in the period. And the ball is taken back inside of the 29-yard line. Wide out to the right at Jazicki. Wide out to the left as well. I formation backfield. Tailback swings out left. Lorenzen, he is hit and missed by one, but hit by another, then another, and then another. Boy, they really went over there after Bailey Lorenzen.
And Thomas Rogerson, number 24, Ira, he's the one who sidestepped the block. They pulled the right guard, and he was able to get around that right guard and just stay with him and make the tackle.
Lucky he only lost 1 yard on that play, as that was well defended by the Vintage Chrysler's. So we'll come up with this second and 16 to go. And they after they had that 5 yard penalty on the earlier play, they have an offset backfield there as the quarterback on play action has the ball nearly intercepted there by Harrison Barrett, the sophomore, went up, deflected the ball, and nearly had an interception.
And he nearly had that because of the pressure on the quarterback by Rogerson again, number 24. Vintage defense just playing outstanding here. Napa trying to just get something going here and get a sustained drive, and then Vintage defense just shutting down the Napa offense right now.
So the ball is back at the 28-yard line. And there's going to be a timeout taken. Napa High takes timeout, 7.5 minutes to go in the second quarter. Our score, the Vintage JV's 7, the Napa JV's 0. Couldn't have a chance to mention about the Vintage Crab Feed. It's going to be coming up on January the 13th. It's their 40th annual crab, pasta, and tri-tip dinner. It's going to be out at the usual place there at the Napa Valley Expo Chardonnay Hall. In addition to all of the crab and everything else, they have a silent auction, a live auction, and entertainment by the Wonder Bread Five. And this helps support more than 30 athletic programs on behalf of over 750 student-athletes at Vintage High School. So did you jot that date down? Let me give it to you once again. It's January the 13th, the Vintage Athletic Boosters 40th Annual Crab Feed. So the co-chair are Katie Aaron and Christy Seitz Banducci. So we're back to action here at the little big game here at Memorial Stadium as the Napa Indians now on third down. Play action, looking, firing a long one down again, and it's just off the fingertips there of the intended receiver, Yazicki. Boy, he had a good shot at that, but Anthony Martinez was trying to prevent it, but he got behind Martinez, and the ball was pretty well thrown. The
ball was well thrown. It was more of a jump ball, and I thought Yazicki had it there and just couldn't come down with it.
So that brings up fourth down and a punting situation now for the Napa Indians as Brayton, punt goes back. It's muffed back there around the 40-yard line as Brayton's punt was taken by the Crushers, and there's a flag on the play as Albert Salva, who took the punt, muffed it at first, recovered it, and then some good coverage by Napa, and then a flag came out.
I'm not too sure what they're going to call here. He wasn't leading with his head. Face mask, okay.
Face mask against Napa. That'll be a 15-yard penalty. 7-0 is the score. Vintage has the lead with 7 minutes and 11 seconds to go. And Vintage gets the ball back after the punt, and then the penalty is going to take the ball into Napa territory. As they had pretty good field position the way it was anyway, but this is going to enhance that, taking it into the, well, they're calling an incidental.
Incidental.
That's only a 5-yard penalty.
Yeah, that's a good call, Ira, but they're still real close to midfield. Good field position for the Crushers.
Yeah, so that saved them 10 yards by having had an incidental rather than a more severe face mask. So it'll be first down from their own 47-yard line as they come up to the line, spreading out left side, Bartlett. Quarterback Bradley Hands off. He finds an opening on the left side of the line, and he gets across midfield and goes down to about the 47-yard line as Mauricio Castro, who scored the earlier touchdown, has advanced the ball into Napa territory.
Yeah, I think we're going to see a steady dose of Castro and look for Eid here on a quick trap. They pull either the left guard or the right guard and then give it to Castro.
Yeah, Castro is a sophomore. I think maybe earlier we alluded to him, but he is a sophomore. And he's carrying again on the right side, finds an opening, and is able to get close to a first down. Looked like about 2 yards shy of that first down at the 45-yard line of Napa.
That time they just let up with the back and didn't pull any of the guards there. They seem to have better success when they kick out with a guard, the playside guard.
We're inside of 6 minutes to go now here in the first half. 7-0, the Vintage JVs in the lead. And Jeremy Bradley has the play from Kyle Hsu on the sideline. Coming up to that line of scrimmage, wide out to the left. On the option, the quarterback keeps the ball, and he is going to be shy of a first down. That was on a third down. They have the ball inside, but not quite to the 44-yard line. So I guess you can go for it in four-down territory
there. I think they should. They got a good running attack. And credit to Daniel Ildefonso on the play there, number 55, the nose guard for Napa High, making that stop, Ira. Great play by him.
So they're going for it here on fourth down. Watch for that fullback, Bryce Eid. No, they give it to the tailback, and he does not make it as Mauricio Castro was stopped at the line of scrimmage. What a nice job by the Napa defense. One of those guys just came in there. And
Jesse Dessa, number 53, on the big stop right there.
And Jagir also had a hand in on that.
Well, they sniffed it out, didn't they? And they knew Castro was going to carry the ball. They were ready for him.
Yeah, I was looking to Eads. I thought he might be the power runner on that play. But Napa snuffed it out and now takes over at their own 45-yard line. And they go off of the left tackle. A good opening there as Fuentes gets inside the 45-yard line of Vintage. Picks up a first down and goes down to the 44, maybe the 43-yard line on that quick opener for Chris Fuentes.
Well, it almost looked like, I think it Fuentes might have tripped over one of his teammates. He might have been down there for six. I don't know if Jake could see that or not.
He tripped over number 55, Daniel Ildefonso, who hurt his leg.
Napa with the ball. They give once again to Fuentes. Fuentes is stopped at about the 41-yard line. Fuentes, a sophomore.
Jaden DiGiarmo again, Ira, on the stop. He's having a good game on the defensive side of the ball for the Vintage Crushers.
Nick Raymond goes to the sideline. Jagir is out there. Trey Dennis is the fullback. And the give is to the tailback once again. He goes off that left tackle spot in between that and the guard. And Fuentes on consecutive carries now has taken the ball down to about the 37-yard line.
And DiGiarmo and Smith that time on the stop for the Vintage Crushers.
So at the 37-yard line, it's going to be third down. They're in Crusher territory, trailing 7-0 here in the little big game. Just over 3 minutes to go until halftime. And the quarterback hands off, as this time it's Brayton carrying for the first down. He gets to the 30 and inside the 30-yard line on a good move there by Travis Brayton.
And this is what Napa's needed, Ira. They need to get some good gains on the ground. They've been getting, you know, 4, 5, 6 yards a pop on this series here, and they've moved the chains. Another set of first downs here.
So it'll be Napa in Vintage territory from the 29-yard line. Quarterback is Cole Rasmussen. And a bad snap and a scramble for a loose ball at the 30-yard line. And Vintage has recovered the football. Bad break for Napa High there on the high snap.
And I'm just not too sure if the quarterback was ready, but Jaden DeJarmo quick on his feet there and saw the ball on the ground and went diving in there to retrieve it for the Vintage Crushers. And like you say, it's a bad break for the Indians.
They were moving the ball.
They were.
Getting down there, getting close to that red zone. So now the Crushers with Jeremy Bradley as the quarterback takes over on the offense. And Bartlett will come out to the left side. To the right side goes Cutler low. And the handoff, tailback again of Castro. And then they fired it out to the right flat, and it was taken by Bryce Eed. And he was driven out of bounds, but there is a flag on the play.
Calling it hold.
That was a terrific fake. I thought the runner had the ball. Great play fake.
They faked it to Mauricio Castro.
And fired it down to the fullback, and Bryce Eads, coming out of the backfield.
Dino, I'm with you. I was following Castro there, and all of a sudden I saw the quarterback rolling out there. So it was an excellent fake.
I haven't seen a play fake like that since Eddie LeBaron, Ira.
Eddie LeBaron was the little guy. He was got in there with the Washington Redskins and played at College of Pacific before it was University of Pacific.
Dino Alessio with his trivia. He's hard to beat.
And played for Oakdale High, where my mom was one of his classmates.
The Crushers, this time, they do run at the outside. There is another flag, probably a hold, and a very nice run, though, by Castro is probably going to be called back.
Yeah, they're going to call that a hold.
Yeah.
Basically, it was on Bryce Eed, who was in that slot receiver, and he was trying to get that linebacker turned and sealed off, and he just kind of grabbed him to turn him instead of getting around him.
Yeah, the referee, Bob Reeve, is the one that
is right there, happened right in front of him.
Yep. Easy call for him. We're inside of 2 minutes to go now in the first half, 7-0. Vintage has the lead in this little big game. The series, though, way ahead are the Napa Indians, having won twice as many as Vintage, 30-15. But Vintage did win last year after Napa had won six in a row. So as they walk off the penalty, that'll put the ball back inside of the Crusher 10-yard line.
And, Ira, you can feel that the momentum switching here. Vintage definitely had the momentum in the first quarter and has definitely gone back to Napa High. And Napa could get a stop here before halftime, get the ball back. They'd be in great field position, but only a minute 50 left.
So it will be first down and 30 or so to go. And they try a trap up the middle, but it's figured out by the Napa defenders as they really converge in there on the fullback, Bryce Eads, who had no place to maneuver.
And Vintage had a first down there, Ira, and they have now they're in second and, 600 yards to go for, it seems like. So, they're doing the right thing, just running the clock down. Napa doesn't seem to want to stop it, so they're going to just run the clock down and keep the ball safe, keep it on the ground. Eat up the clock and go in at halftime with a 7-0 lead.
The Crushers, their last game against Wilsey Wood, shut out Wood 46-0 as far as the JV score. They won over Armio 13-8 in a low-scoring battle. Armio had a very good JV team. And Vintage defeated Rodriguez 34-14, so they have won three in a row as they come into this game. They had lost to Vanden 36-27. Crushers' one tie was against Lincoln of Stockton 20-20. As the handoff goes over the left side, as they tried that left side of the line and getting a short gain was Castro. Still deep in their own territory now, out to the 13-yard line. Coming up on a half a minute to go here in the first half.
Kent, if you were Napa, wouldn't you call a timeout here?
I would have been calling a timeout from the very get-go just to force him into a fourth down and punt and have some time to get the ball back in good field position.
Well, Bradley hands off, and Castro squirts to the outside, and he makes a move and gets across the 20-yard line. He has to get to the 40-yard line, though. Now I think Napa may have taken a timeout. They do. So Napa calls for a timeout.
I would have burned that timeout earlier on play before. They had two, I believe, left.
Yeah, they have two left. That was their first. That was their second one. Right, they had taken an earlier. Yep.
So, I mean, I would think that I would go all out to rush the putter here.
Absolutely. There's nothing to lose there. I would go all out. I'm with you, Dino. Just go all out for it. Even if you get a penalty, vintage still has a long ways to go with only 16 seconds left.
Yeah. Well, the guy that's going to do the punting is Joey Russo, so it'll be interesting to see if he feels the pressure coming his way.
And what you don't want to do, now, this is where you have to have a good snap, good reception on the snap and get the ball away.
Vintage JV started the season with a win over the Davis JVs 14-6. Then they beat Wood Creek 18-14. So they've had five wins, one loss, and one tie coming into this game. The Crushers coming out now with a fourth down and long yardage to go. Getting set to punt, Joey Russo. He gets it away. There's a flag on the play. It's a good punt. Soars back. It takes a reverse bounce, though, and kicks back outside of the 45-yard line, where it'll be down by the Crushers after a 30-yard punt. If that would have taken a forward bounce, it would have had quite a bit more to it.
Well, I'm not too sure why Zizekia let that ball drop. That ball was right there. He's fielding it like a center fielder and let it drop right beside him. That took another 5 seconds off the clock before the whistle blew. They could have had 10 seconds left instead of 5 seconds.
There was a false start against the Crushers, but only 5 seconds to go in the half. But Napa will probably take the penalty and will try to see if they can run it back into the end zone. It would probably be the final play of the first half. Of course, if they field the ball and call for a fair catch, then they'll have one play from scrimmage. But apparently they're going to decline the penalty. So Napa declines that penalty. That'll give them a chance to have one play from the line of scrimmage. And the ball is placed down in Napa territory, though, at the 47-yard line. So this will, in all probability, barring a penalty, be the final play of the first half. Napa coming up there. Getting over center is Rudy Hernandez. Sending two wide outs to the right, one to the left. Now it's going to be two to the left and one to the right as quickly Ponciano goes over to the left side.
Napa had to call a timeout. Ira, they were lined up in the wrong formation, and Coach Bumper LaRue had to call a timeout. And that's, at this time of the season, that's what you don't want to see. You call a formation and your kids are lining up wrong. That shouldn't be.
Yeah.
Interestingly, Kent, one of the officials signaled that the timeout was taken by Vintage.
Okay, mistake.
It may have been that the coaches just want to go over assignments with the players here. Make sure don't let anybody get behind you on this.
Absolutely, Dino. Watch out for any trickery, laterals and so forth like that. But a key thing there is do not let anybody get behind you.
Let me just quickly mention some of those assistants to Bumper LaRue. Jerry Harris, Dennis Whitecotton, Felipe Leon, Eric Sandberg, Matt McCumber, Warren Bowers, Adam Crony. Those are just some of the guys that help out there on the coaching side of the football. So Napa now, at their own 47-yard line, takes a snap, rolling back to the right, running with the ball now, and getting to the 45, the 40, bumped out of bounds as quarterback Cole Rasmussen was running with the ball and ate up the remaining seconds as the first half has come to an end. So here at Memorial Stadium, we're at halftime of the Little Big Game 46, and the score is the Vintage Crushers of Napa 7 and the Napa High Indians 0. You're in tune with KVON 1440, Napa, California, the voice of the North Bay Wine Country, and streaming on the internet at KVON.com. This is Ira C. Smith, along with Kent Fry, Jacob Grant, and Dino Alessio at the stadium. And Kent has an observation.
Well, Ira, this is it's been a ground attack, as we expected, with both teams running the ball. Vintage running the ball with great success in the first quarter. And then, of course, Napa in the second quarter. It'll be interesting to see Dino's statistics. I bet they come out pretty balanced there. Napa has had a couple of turnovers, I believe, and they were moving there, Ira. So look for both teams, really, to keep the ball on the field, on the ground, and in the second half, and to continue what they're doing. And then, you know, at halftime, we're going to have a wonderful surprise guest, if you will, Ira, in the varsity game. We're going to have second-generation crushers, if you will, are going to be up here to we're going to talk to them a little bit. But we're going to have Gunnar DeYoung, who's I believe whose uncle was Charles Hammond, is Charles Hammond. And we're going to have Elena Housley. And we're going to find out about from a student's their perspective of the big game and what they think of the game, the activities, the functions at school and so forth, and how long they've been participating. So that's going to be a lot of fun with Gunnar DeYoung and Elena Housley.
Okay, as we're set to roll here with our halftime report from Dino, as we've made the transformation on our tower and transmitter shift that occurs at different times throughout the year and during the month of the November. We're into November now. It's at 6 o'clock. So let's go over to Dino and take a look at the first half stats.
So here I am broadcasting on lower power with the antenna turned, but I'm here to tell you that the only scoring in that first half was the Vintage Crushers with in the second quarter with 8:26 to go. Mauricio Castro took the ball in from 5 yards out. Russo added the point after. That was copped off a 7-play, 52-yard drive that took 3 minutes and 2 seconds, and it got us to a 7-0 score, and that's how the half ended. For the individual stats for the Napa JVs, their leading ball carrier was Fuentes with 3 carries for 20 yards. Rasmussen had 3 for 17 yards. Dennis had 3 for 11 yards. Altogether for the Napa JVs, they ran the ball 13 times for 55 yards, a 4.2-yard average per run. Rasmussen did attempt 2 forward passes, both incomplete. So for Napa, 15 offensive plays, 55 net yards. For the Vintage Crushers, their leading ball carrier was Mauricio Castro with 46 yards on 12 carries. He also scored 1 touchdown from 5 yards out. His longest carry was 9 yards. Ede, the fullback, ran well, 32 yards on 6 carries, and Bradley, the quarterback, had 17 yards on 4 carries. For the Crushers, 22 running plays, 95 yards rushing, and that is 4.2 yards, or close to 4.3 yards per attempt, so pretty even there. Bradley also completed 1 out of 2 passing for 13 yards, connecting on a pass to Ede. So for the Crushers, 24 offensive plays, 108 net yards. So the Crushers had 24 plays from scrimmage to just 15 for the Indians. And remember, the Indians are scheduled to kick off to start the second half. On the team numbers, it was the Vintage Crushers with 6 first downs to just 2 for the Napa Indians. And Napa had those 2 fumbles, which really hurt, especially one of them. They were in scoring territory and turned it over. Penalties, not too bad. Just 2 against Napa for 10 yards, 2 against the Crushers for 21 yards. And isn't that refreshing not to see a lot of penalty yardage marked off? A very entertaining first half. It's definitely still anybody's ball game. Napa is scheduled to kick off to start the second half, but it'll be interesting to see what they might do. Whether they might try an onside kick to get the ball back or kick it deep. Their defense has been playing better, especially in the second quarter, and maybe they can get the ball back for the offense. So we'll see what happens.
And we'll find out if some of those freshmen, a few more of the freshmen, can get into the action, as Napa used some freshmen there in that first half. The small little big game, or the mini little big game, whatever you want to call it, with the freshman team from Napa and Vintage played a week ago Thursday. And Vintage went into that game 7-0, and Napa went in 4-1. And Napa won the game 30-19, looked very impressive, as particularly I thought their quarterback, Brock Bauer, who's 6'2", 185-pounder, and he was our player of the game.
It just goes to show, Ira, you throw out the records when it comes to this game. It's you know, obviously it's execution of the plays and the ball handling and ball possessions, not turning the ball over. But, you know, emotion just plays a big part of this game. So, and that little big game proved it. And I wonder how Jake was looking at this game down there in the first half, what his perspective was.
Well, let's go down there and find out.
The sideline was buzzing after that first score, I can tell you that. That was for sure. Napa's side was looking a little abysmal. That's why you couldn't hear me the first time. I'm not getting any reception on the left side of the 50 on Napa's sideline, so you can't hear me from there. But it definitely, you can feel it on the sideline when their team's working well.
How do the stands look as far as the spectators coming out tonight, the Vintage side compared to the Napa side?
Vintage is like 75-80% full, and Napa's looking about 50% full. So the percentages are off on how they usually are.
Well, we've got time, though. A lot of people may be waiting to come out for the varsity action.
Yeah, definitely. And, I mean, it's definitely going to be a cold night, so why not listen to our warm, comforting voices over the radio?
Well, it's best
of coming out here.
Best to come out to the game.
Definitely.
We would definitely encourage people to come on out. Bring your radio if you have a transistor radio.
You know, people still getting home from work, too, Ira. I think these stands will be filling up.
Some of the other games going on tonight, American Canyon is at Benicia. St. Helena is at Clear Lake. And from the MEL, Vacaville and Will C. Wood are playing air at Tom Zanino Stadium in Vacaville tonight. Armio is over at their home to Rodriguez tonight. And Justin Siena waits till tomorrow afternoon when they will play at Marin Catholic in Kentfield. And we'll have Raider football on the air Sunday night. That's right. The Raiders are in that Sunday night game at 5:30 at Miami. That'll be on KVON. The 49ers are home to the Phoenix Cardinals at 1 o'clock. And Ken, I have to think that that's a very winnable game for the Niners.
Well, it is, and obviously they have a new quarterback, you know, and so we'll see if he's going to be playing or not, obviously. I doubt he is because he needs to get to the system and so forth, but changes are being made already on the front 49ers roster, and they need a win, Ira. They need one big time here just to get on the winning scoreboard, so it's just good for the organization and what the new coach needs to go through, and I know their losses... Most of their losses have just been by very few points. So they're playing very competitive football.
Tomorrow night we have both Warriors and Sharks in action. So we'll have on the radio the Golden State Warriors at Denver game. That'll come on at 6 o'clock tomorrow night on KVON. The San Jose Sharks will be home to Anaheim. I guess they call it the L.A. team.
I call them the Anaheim Mighty Ducks, but it can get confusing. I mean, the Anaheim Angels are the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, so maybe the Mighty Ducks are the Los Angeles Ducks of Anaheim. I don't know.
The main thing, Dino, go Sharks.
And, go Islanders.
And as you probably know, where did that come from?
Jake, our big Islander fan down there, hey, putting in his 2 cents there.
There was a parade today, and it didn't rain on their parade, I don't think. It was in Houston, what was that parade about?
Well, I tell you, it made my day being a loyal Giants fan and a loyal Giants hater or Dodger hater, watching Houston and the Dodgers. Houston beat the Dodgers in what had to be one of the best World Series in quite a while, Dino. Seven games, both teams played extremely, extremely well, Dodgers and the Astros. But boy, hats off to the Astros. Young team and with a few veterans in there, they did the job.
I tell you, that game on, I think it was the Sunday game, the 13-12 game, that's one of the best World Series games I've ever seen. I mean, it was just out of this world. And for the Astros, wow, George Springer, who knew?
Yeah,
I barely heard of this guy before the series started, and he had a World Series record in total bases, tied the record for home runs, homered in four consecutive games, which had never happened in the World Series before. He's like Mr. October and November.
As an A's fan, I've had to experience the Houston Astros whooping on my A's quite a bit. So those names rung quite a few bells after some heartbreaking losses to those guys.
Yeah, that was a great World Series.
All right, let's get set now for second half football as the Napa Indians will be kicking it off to get things underway. And the guy that's been quarterbacking, Cole Rasmussen, is out there to tee up the football at the 40-yard line. And the Vintage Crushers will see if they can get in good field position, sending Mauricio Castro back deep inside of the 10-yard line. So Rasmussen getting set to kick off. Vintage is leading in the JV game 7-0. As here we go now, we're underway in the second half. A kick soaring end over end down to the 3-yard line, taken there and brought out to about the 20-yard line there by Castro. And so at the 20, that's where it'll be first down for the Vintage offense.
Tyler Clark on the stop for the Napa High Indians.
At about 17 yards on the return. Jeremy Bradley, quarterback in that first half, except for one play. Jacob Aaron got in on the first play of the second quarter. But otherwise, Jeremy Bradley's been directing it from the I formation. And he keeps the ball. He cuts in at the 20. He is hit and dropped on a good tackle at about the 23-yard line. And that's one of the crisp hits by Kyle Yazicki.
Yeah, and Bradley feels that, Ira. You can see him getting up and just kind of, you know, shaking that off a little bit. Jeremy Bradley, the quarterback for the Vintage Crusher JV ball team. It's definitely, you know, give the ball to number 28, Maurice Castro, along with Bradley and Ede. They're the three workloads carrying the football for the Crushers.
Crushers use split ends either side of the I formation backfield. Bradley hands off as they work it over the right side. Short gain there for Castro this time. He got out just across the 25-yard line. Several tacklers being led by... I don't know which one hit first, but there are about three of them.
I couldn't quite tell who was on the attack there, Ira, but definitely there was three or four Napa High Indians there.
It was Kyle Jeske.
Yazicki? Okay, so we have Indians on the defense. Crushers on the offense have gone over 100 yards in rushing, and the fullback he has run into. Boy, the Napa defense did such a nice job on the tackles. Bryce Eads just got... took a really hard hit and was able to hold on to the football, but it was a quick three, and they'll be out of there now.
Yeah. Daniel Delfonso there, one of the defensive tackles for the Indians, making that stop. Indians obviously playing inspired football. They're just picking up where they left off the second quarter, playing tough defense. Let's see if they get the ball back and start marching down the field.
Napa's going to come out of this in pretty good shape. The punt, he gets it away. Yazicki is looking at it. He is... going to let it roll there and down in front of him by Logan Bartlett.
Now Bartlett could have let that roll a little bit longer, but he didn't want to take a chance. Maybe it kicked back the other way, so he downed the ball.
Well, that puts the ball at the 45-yard line after a 33-yard punt and no return.
Now, Ira, we've seen Napa move the ball here that second quarter. Let's see if they have good field position. Key turnovers is what stopped their drives.
Well, I tell you, that particular defensive stand, I thought, was very impressive.
Absolutely.
By the Napa JV.
Come out halftime and three and out and get the ball right back almost at midfield.
Wides either side, high backfield, and no place to go there as they try to hand off to do a little trap play. And nothing here for Chris Fuentes. There was the sophomore fullback was met and dropped for a loss on the play.
Yeah, big number 73 there, Smith. We've called his name many times tonight, Dominic Smith.
Yep.
He's on that nose tackle right now. This is what we're going to see in the varsity game. The front three interior, both teams just dominating the line of scrimmage.
So from the eye, the over an angle left side. There is a flag. Looks like a hold is coming against Napa as the ball once again was carried by Fuentes, and he got just about to the original line of scrimmage when he was stopped.
Yeah, Albert Zavala came up from his safety spot. He read that real quick, came up to make that tackle.
Just underway in the second half of our little big game, the JV action here. 7-0 is the score as Vintage has the lead, and Napa has the football here in the third quarter. Napa guilty of an infraction there. The 10-yard holding penalty takes the ball back outside of the 35-yard line at the 36-yard line. So the referee, Bob Reeves, signals let the clock start rolling as the Napa Indians come back to the line of scrimmage. Rasmussen hands it off in the backfield. A good opening out of the 40, the 45 midfield. He goes to the 40 in Vintage territory, the 30 from behind. They catch him at the 20, pull him down inside the 15, down to the 12-yard line. What a run that was. That has been the play so far by Trey Dennis.
Yeah, Trey Dennis, kind of a short, stocky. He was at the tailback. They ran a little cross action in the backfield with the fullback going left, and then Trey Dennis, number 43, the tailback, going back to the right. So a little X cross action messed up the linebackers, and he got through that hole, and he kept going, Ira. I thought he was going to break away.
52 yards he did get. He's only a freshman, too, one of those freshmen playing.
He's got thick thighs. Look at the size of him. He's stocky.
First down for Napa. They're getting deep into Vintage territory. They go to him again as he gets to the 10-yard line, and he's driven back. Took about four of the tacklers for the Crushers, led by Tyler Fernandez, a freshman for Vintage.
Exact same play, Ira, except they were going to the left this time. Fake to the right with the fullback going to the right. Trey Dennis just takes a step to the right and then comes back to the left.
Also, Briar Scott had a hand in it. Napa's also over 100 yards rushing, so both offenses now have exceeded the triple digit in rushing, or got to that triple digit. And on a crossbuck play, they hand the ball over to Fuentes as he moves inside, faking to the first, handing to Fuentes, the second guy coming through, and he gets to the 6-yard line.
Yeah, just running a little quick inside trap, fake the pitch, and then come back with the inside trap. And Jaden DiGiarmo, we've called his name a lot, number 55 on the stop. Good pickup for the Indians.
So it'll be third down and about four to go for a first down, six to go for a touchdown. And they're not going to get into the first down as they're stopping about the 5-yard line as Napa look for a good block in there, and they did not get it after the handoff. And
Thomas Rogerson on the lead point there of that attack. He was the first of many about four Crushers there, Ira.
Yeah, Trey Dennis was the ball carrier for Napa on that play with 4.5 minutes to go in the third quarter. Dennis will stay there in the backfield. And the fake a handoff to him. The quarterback back fires to the end zone, and I think it's intercepted. Two players go up for the ball, and the Crusher comes down with the ball. And
Harrison Barrett, number 10.
So congratulations to Harrison Barrett there, a sophomore that made that interception in the end zone.
Napa High just tried to run a little isolation pass. He faked to the tailback, stuck the ball in the belly, but the Vintage Crushers weren't having any part of it, and they're trying to sneak the tight end out there back in the back of the end zone. And Barrett was right there with him to pick the ball off.
And as you said, it was a jump ball type situation there. So Napa goes back on the defense now, and the Crushers on the offense, handing off in the backfield, getting about 5 yards on the first carry was Mauricio Castro.
Yeah, that time they ran a counter back to the strong side, pulling the left guard and left tackle leading around on the right. The right-hand side of the line blocking down.
there was equipment that needed to be adjusted there on Juan Roldan, as he has to come to the sideline for equipment adjustment. And the Crushers quickly send somebody else out there to take his place on the line.
On that tackle was Jesus Pimentel, number 52. Another, again, part of that deep three interior of the Napa High Indians.
Jeremy Bradley had started onto the field, and then they got called back by Kyle Shue. His coach gave him a further instruction. Bradley will be operating.
He's going to call a timeout.
Yeah, Kyle Shue decided he's going to take a timeout, so they will spend one of their timeouts. And we'll be back in a moment here in the third quarter with 3:21 to go in our JV contest. The score is the Vintage Crushers of Napa 7 and the Napa High Indians 0. Well, we're seeing more female officials at football actions here lately than we have in prior years, but this is the first time I remember that we have a husband and a wife combination out there. And the ball is dropped. There's a scramble for it at the 36-yard line. And
Napa
recovered, coming away with that football. Looks like Kyle Jasicki.
And Ira, the snap was there. Bradley just fumbled the snap. I think he was trying to pull away too quick. That ball was right there. That was a good snap.
Well, we saw Jacob Aaron for just that one play, but he was impressive as the freshman quarterback in that game a week ago Thursday. And, of course, the Napa quarterback, Brock Bowers, was very effective, too. And the little running back, Manuel Infante, was exciting to watch in that freshman game. So Napa gets a break here at the 20, and the quarterback keeps the ball, tucks it in the 25. The stop shy of the 20-yard line. Cole Rasmussen picking up some yards. Line of scrimmage was the 26-yard line.
Bryce Eat coming up on that stop. Good pickup, though, Ira. Good four and a half yards.
Second down, 6 yards to go. Going toward that north end zone. Flag is furling a bit, as usual, usually out of the south. Napa lines up now here to take the snap on second down. And the quarterback, Rasmussen, hands off and tripped up, grabbing him around the ankle was the tackler. As it was Travis Brayton trying to get past the defender who reached out, grabbed his ankle. That takes the ball down to about the 17 or 18-yard line. Jake, you're standing right down there. Is it closer to the 17 or 18? It's like about the 18?
18, yeah.
And they hand off. Once again, they go with Brayton over the right side of the line and gets back close to that first down. In fact, they're going to give him enough for the first down there at the 15-yard line.
Yeah, Napa's attacking. What they're attacking the tackles, just running the ball off the tackle. That's where they seem to have a good success.
Minute and a half to go here in the third quarter. Vintage is leading 7-0. Napa has the football deep in Vintage territory at the 15-yard line, going toward that north end zone, as we mentioned, and splitting wide outs either side using two in the backfield. Now they're going to shift, sending over to the right side, Justin Barnes. And they hand off. They go to the left side on the handoff. And a good pursuit by the defense. And they pull him down shy of the 10-yard line as Chris Fuentes. The flow was going to the right, and he tried to change direction there. Took it to the left and got into just inside the 13-yard line.
Just a little inside trap, Ira, with it. It's a reverse pitch fake, if you will. He fakes his pitch and then hands off to the fullback on the inside trap.
Trey Dennis is the tailback for this play, and he's going to carry over right tackle inside the 10, down to the 5, has the first down, and is very close there to the end zone, stopped at the 3-yard line.
Well, they just Napa High just came back inside, running with a lead block, just back on backer, fullback leading up the way, and that Trey Dennis is big. He is short and stocky. He has thick thighs. He is hard to bring down.
And is a freshman. fact, just look, I'm trying to remember him from the game that we broadcast on Thursday. But don't remember him in that game, so he might have been on the JVs earlier. And they hand off this time to Dennis again, and he stopped just shy of the goal. It just looks, how close are they to the goal line down there, Jacob?
Inches,
okay. And Ira, that was the same play, just an isolation play. ISO left that time. Fullback leading up, taking on the middle backer, just lineman on lineman, and he just short of the goal line by inches.
So that means that's the end of the quarter, and they'll have to go the entire length of the field to get down there to inches away from the goal line to start the fourth quarter. After three quarters of play here at Memorial Stadium, in the little big game, it is Vintage 7, Napa 0. Well, as we start the fourth quarter, the Vintage JV's defense met with a big challenge.
They sure are here, Ira. Boy, it's just looks like second down and less than a yard, obviously. Maybe not even a half a yard, quarter yard. So I look for Dennis. I look for number 43, Trey Dennis, to carry the ball here. He's going to go right over right side.
And they have Chris Fuentes in the backfield. Cole Rasmus in the quarterback. And he hands off to Dennis. Dennis over left tackle. Gets into the end zone. Touchdown, Napa High.
Good play call, Ira. They came back to the weak side that time. It looked like they line up. They were going to go strong side again. I had them going strong side, and they came back to the weak side. Nice play. Good block by the fullback.
So Trey Dennis gets Napa on the scoreboard, and let's see if they go for one or two. One would tie up the game. We're just starting the fourth quarter, and two, they would take the lead.
I think they're going for two here, Ira.
They are going for the lead. Napa High has Trey Dennis still at the tailback, and Fuentes the fullback. Rasmus in the quarterback. Hands off, same play, and he's not going to get in this time. They tried the very same play that he scored the touchdown on.
Absolutely, Ira, they sure did. They lined up strong side right, tied in right, and ran that backside, weak side isolation play, and Vintage defense rose to the occasion.
Well, credit the defense with shutting him down on the extra point attempt for a two-point conversion. And the Napa Indians, though, had the ball for 3 minutes and 19 seconds. It took them 6 plays. They went 26 yards and get into the end zone to make it a one-point game now here in this little big game. Last year, it was a 14-6 score. Vintage won that, so Napa had 6 points last year. They want to get more than 6 this year. They're trailing by 1.
Yep. You know, and again, you know, I alluded to this early in the first half. You could feel the momentum change, and Napa still definitely has a momentum. They're the ones who are controlling the line of scrimmage right now, and that's what's winning this ball game. The Crushers are hanging on 7-6 as Napa couldn't convert the 2-point conversion, but Napa is driving the ball with much easier than before in that first quarter. So they've made some adjustments and are doing a great job.
Well, Trey Dennis made it look so easy scoring the touchdown.
And where was he that first half? Because, boy, he came out of nowhere here, and he is he's a force to be reckoned with. He's hard to bring down.
Cole Rasmussen getting set to kick off. There's his boot again. It's end over end coming down to the 12-yard line. It's taken there by the Crushers as they start down the middle, and they get out to about the 30-yard line is Joey Russo. Joey is the guy that kicks off. This time he was the guy on the receiving end of the kickoff.
Yeah, Russo made a nice cutback to get another 10 yards there. Thought he almost was going to break free.
This is a broadcast of the first game of our football doubleheader tonight from the new Memorial Stadium. Well, we say new, it's only its 8th year, but those 8 have gone by fast.
It sure has.
Crushers with the ball. Bradley hands off as they have the fullback, Bryce Eads, carrying close to the 35, and most of that just on his sheer power.
That's it. That's it, Ira. Eads did that all on his own. A good pickup of 5 yards. Sweat the Crushers' knees. They need to move the ball and move the chains. Got 2 more plays to move the chains here.
if you pick up 5 yards on first down and you're leading by a point. Jeremy Bradley has been quarterbacking all except one snap here for the Crozier offense. Has the two backs behind, hands off to the tailback, looking for running room is Castro, and he gets, and there is a late flag that came in.
Late flag.
It came in after Castro was down. Bob Reeve, the official. We've seen Bob officiate a lot of basketball games around the area as well as football. And his wife, personal foul against the Crashers. His wife is going to be the referee in the next game.
Well, Ira, you said it. We haven't seen a husband and wife duo here as far as we know. Officiating, so that's going to be, maybe we're making history here tonight as far as our observation.
I think in basketball that we had a broadcast of a game when Bob Reeve and his wife were officiating the same game. And they come from Sacramento, so they're not right in this immediate area.
Right.
And I talked to them, and they said they don't like the drive on Friday coming on Highway 80.
Yeah, I bet. No one likes that
drive. I told him, it is worse going the other way.
Yes, it is.
If you're coming this direction, you're better off than the people heading the other way. Vintage with the ball now, leading it by one. And there's a quick pitch coming down the left side. And it is caught outside the 40-yard line by Logan Bartlett. And that is first down. They had a long way to go after that 15-yard penalty. But they got enough yardage on that pass play for a first down, going 21 yards, and the ball out to the 42-yard line. Still in Vintage territory, but they were getting backed up after that personal foul penalty. Yeah.
Calvin Snyder, the DB here on this side of Napa, just let him get by him, kind of was suckered in by the fake. And if that ball was a little bit more to the inside, we would have had a touchdown.
Yep. Jeremy Bradley. Hands off to the right side as Castro carries across the 45 to 50. Gets in Napa territory. Down the sideline to 40. He's the 30. He's down to 25 to 20. Boom! They got him from behind. That is what a great move to the outside and down the sideline by Mauricio Castro. On that play, he goes 39 yards and takes the ball deep into Napa territory.
And that was a great block by the white out there. It looked like Kyle Dandini on the block out there to free Castro up. I'm going to take that back, Ira. That was Logan Bartlett on the block.
Hand off as they come to the left side. And turning on the speed, the 15, the 10, down to about the 5-yard line. And Mauricio Castro took the big hit, but boy, did he run that ball and utilize his blockers. But look, we have a holding call against the Vintage Crushers. That is going to negate that run and will be a 10-yard penalty.
That's too bad because Castro had turned the corner.
Picked up 12 yards.
And he actually delivered the hit on the tackle. The defender went backwards as Castro was going forward.
He turned on the speed when he rounded that corner.
Yeah, he's coming out for a little break here, just get some water in him, catch a fresher breath air here for a plate.
That's a break for the Napa defense.
It really is, because Castro,
he had picked up the 12 yards. They would have gotten him inside the 10.
And another first down.
Now it is still first down, but a long way to go from the 30-yard line. And they give to the fullback. He's tripped up as he gets about 5 yards on the play. Bryce Eads takes it to the 25-yard line. Well, they're moving it back a couple more yards now out to the 27-yard line. We're in the fourth quarter, 7:15 to go. Vintage JVs leading the Napa JVs 7-6. Close contest here, the first game of our football doubleheader tonight with this emotional game, bragging rights, a lot on the line for these high school players. As the ball goes to Castro again, swings out, tries to make the cut, and is brought down over there by Tyler Clark.
Yeah, little Tyler Clark. It was just him, and he took on Castro and brought him down with a nice solid tackle. So, however, that penalty has really hurt him. Instead of first and goal, they were backed up, and now it's going to be third and 14, 15 yards here.
Now, third and 14. 6.5 minutes to go here in the fourth quarter. Hey, by the way, don't forget daylight saving time comes up this Sunday.
Ira, now you got two plays to make a first down here. You don't have to try to get it all at once.
Here's Bradley handing off. They work the trap, and he gets to the 20-yard line as they gave the ball once again to Castro. And they have to get inside the 10, down to the 9-yard line for a first down. And this is fourth down at the 20-yard line of Napa.
Yeah, and they need about 10.5 to get a first down. A little too far from field goal range. They're definitely going to have to go for this here.
Jeremy Bradley brings the play in from Kyle Shue in the Crusher sideline. Sending low out far to the right side. And keeping the ball as the quarterback, he fires on the run and it is incomplete. It was thrown under duress there as he had really good pursuit. He had to get rid of the ball or he was going to be sacked. Yeah. But that was on a fourth down play.
Good job by Bradley just to throw it away and not take a sack and give up any more yards. So,
but good job by the Napa defense holding on that series. It got down to about the 12-yard line.
So we've seen some turnovers hurt Napa, and now we've seen a big penalty hurt Vintage where they were going in to score, both teams here. So
big series right now for Napa High with 5.5 minutes to go. The tailback gets his way right through the middle on the trap, and he gets about 10 yards, just going straight up the middle there, Trey Dennis. Boy, has he been running a nice pattern here in this second half.
Yeah, they're just feeding him the ball. That time, Breyer Scott on the stop. And it's a good thing he did stop him because I think Dennis might have had at least 20 more yards.
I think he got shaken up a little bit on that play, did Dennis. He stays in there, however. And Cole Rasmussen, he's set to bring him up to the line. Ezeki goes out to the left side. Barnes to the right side. And the tailback carries again. And this time it is short yardage for Fuentes. Chris Fuentes gets it about the 33-yard line. So the clock will become a factor, particularly if Napa has to turn it over from this series. Pickup of a couple yards on that play. Second down, about 8 yards to go. Vintage leading 7-6 in this JV game. Running out of the I formation. The tailback carries again, and that for Fuentes is going to be just a couple or three more yards. Now going to the sideline is Trey Dennis. He was really shaken up on that earlier play, and in his place will be Ponciano. Napa's over 150 yards as a team rushing in this game. This is a third down play, but even though they're in their own territory,
it's crucial.
Probably could be fourth down territory. So we have a new tailback in there, in Ponciano, for Napa, and he's going to carry on this play up the middle. He gets the first down, flag on the play.
And that time Napa ran a counter, Ira.
Yeah, and it's a hold against Napa, negating that fine run up the middle by Seth Ponciano. So instead of the pickup of the first down, it's going to cost them 10 yards.
And yeah, that's a big, big hurt right there for the Napa High Indians.
Well, penalties hurt Vintage.
Exactly, and this is just what drives you crazy as coaches. You don't want to see these penalties, especially this late in the game. You're driving. Napa's driving. They need to score. They're down by one with 3 minutes to go, 3.5 minutes to go here.
Well, they spread their wideouts, and they run with the two setbacks, and the quarterback is back to pass. Rasmus throwing down, and it is out of bounds. Pass was intended for Kyle Ezeki.
I don't know what Yazicki's doing. He's just kind of jogging down here. I don't understand it. I mean, he should be sprinting on that pattern.
Well, it was been out of bounds, even if he would have caught up to the ball. He would have caught it out of bounds. So it's fourth down, and Napa deep in their own territory, back inside the 30 at the 28-yard line. With 3.5 minutes to go, what are you going to do? You're going to punt and try to get the ball back?
Napa just called a timeout here, Ira.
Boy, Would have been good to save that if you had to stop the clock here. If Vintage can get a first down or two, they can run out the clock now. With 3.5 minutes to go, we're in the little big game here at Memorial Stadium in Napa, California, this crosstown rivalry, and it is the Vintage Crushers of Napa 7 and the Napa High Indians 6. Game 1 of our football doubleheader. In the freshman game, Napa defeated Vintage 30-19. If Vintage holds on to win this, it would be one apiece, which means the varsity game, the big game, 46, would be the decisive one as far as who wins 2 out of 3. But long way to go from that standpoint. And Napa.
See, if Napa's going to go for it here, Ira, I think they are.
Now they need 13 yards, and they're coming up to the line. They are going to go for it. Cole Rasmussen, the quarterback from the pistol formation, takes the snap, looks down the middle, fires down the middle, and it's intercepted at the 45-yard line to the 40, down to the 30, the 25, the 10, the 5, into the end zone goes Harrison Barrett. A pick six for Barrett.
His second interception of the night, Ira.
Well,
they were just trying to run a little seam route up the inside seam, and ball was a little overthrown, and Barrett playing that.
Looking right down the middle.
Yeah, that center field, or free safety, if you will, was able to pick it off, and then he had a whole wall of Vintage Crushers there to block his way into the end zone.
Barrett gets a nice slap on the back from Ernie Avina as the extra point attempt from a freshman, Tate Solis, is on the way, and it is good. So there was a freshman getting in to score a point. Tate Solis puts the extra point on the board. Timeout with 3:16 to go, and the score now, the Vintage Crushers of Napa 14, the Napa Indians 6. Well, Napa's going to get possession, Kent, and they're going to hope for a tie in this game because they could get a touchdown and get a two-point conversion to tie up this game.
And they could, Ira. That's what they need to do.
And they have plenty of time to do that with over 3 minutes to go here, and they will be getting the ball, hoping for a good run back.
Vintage needs to kick the ball off deep here, get good downfield coverage, keep Napa pinned back down there.
Back Jagir is one of those dropping way back for Napa High. Jagir played on that freshman team, did a nice job. Crusher's getting set to kick off with Joey Russo. His left-footed kick sends it over to the right side of the field, and it is going to kick out of bounds. So that will give a good field position for Napa High. Instead of having to field the ball deep in their own territory, they just watched it kick out of bounds, and Briar Scott elected not to try to field the ball and very wisely let it go out of bounds.
And good call there, Ira, where he made a smart decision to let it go out of bounds. Thought that ball might have trickled in the end zone, but it kicked out around the two. So now Napa has a ball at the 35-yard line.
Napa heading toward that south end zone, trying to get in there to tie up the game if they could get a touchdown and a two-point conversion. Napa with the football. Cole Rasmussen has gone all the way at quarterback. He fakes a handoff, keeps the ball, starts up the middle, and he's grabbed up around the collar, and he is dropped at about the 39-yard line.
Yeah, Bryce Eade, he's having a great game both sides of the ball.
Yeah, I thought that was the guy that's been on the fullback side of the offense and out there on the linebacker side there on defense. Good tackle there by Eade.
Kent, Napa's not showing much of a sense of urgency here. They've got to get the plays in quicker, wouldn't you say?
They do. That's a great point, Dino, and that just comes to clock management and good coaching on the sideline. You got to be aware of that.
Rasmussen putting Ponciato in motion, and boy, the defense comes right up there and makes the hit on the quarterback, so nothing opened up for Cole Rasmussen as he was brought down there for a loss of a yard on the play. Well, Third down and about 7 yards to go, maybe 8 yards to go.
And they're still not taking a timeout here.
They have two timeout remaining. Just over 2 minutes to go here in the quarter. Dino was signaling timeout. The officials didn't see him. Here's Rasmussen firing down the middle, and it's intercepted by the same guy. That is Harrison Barrett, and he is back to the 45-yard line in Chrysler territory. That's his third interception in the game.
Yeah, he's just having a great time back there at that safety spot.
He's having fun tonight, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Coming over to the sideline as the Chrysers get the ball and nap it with two timeout remaining, and the clock is moving inside of 2 minutes to go here in the fourth quarter in this JV contest. You know, before Kyle Shue, a guy named Ryan Purdy was the Chryser JV coach, and that was for 1 year. Kyle Shue had done it the previous 2 years, then Kyle came back. This is 6 year back this time around. There's a handoff, and they go to Castro over right side. Cut out, cut in, and as he tried to make his inside move, he was brought down after a couple-yard gain on the play.
I think Castro just wants to get in the end zone. He's still running very, very hard here.
He was, yeah. Napa electing not to use their two timeouts as we're down to the one-minute mark here. And the Chrysler's taking plenty of time there. Kyle Shue on the near sideline, sending Jeremy Bradley back out with the play.
I know our sideline reporter Jake is down there. He's going to try to get Kyle Shue after the game here for us, Ira.
Yeah. The Chrysler's with Bradley at quarterback. He hands off to the fullback, and plowing ahead once again is Bryce Eads. He's going to be close to a first down.
I think he has it. Yep.
Yeah, it's going to be depending on where they spot the ball. Well, it was very sad earlier this year when we heard of the passing of Kyle Shue's father, who had been quite an athlete back in St. Helena himself, and also was really supportive of his son. Came to all of the Chrysler football games when the Chrysler's at a contest, you'd see Mr. Shue there supporting his son, and we were very saddened when we learned of his passing earlier this year. The victory formation
there it is,
for
Ira.
The Chrysler, so that'll end it now. And the little big game ends up the same score as last year. It was 14-6, Vintage winning last year, and it's 14-6, Vintage winning this year. So that part was duplicated. We have varsity action coming up. Stay tuned. We'll be back with a recap and a scene setter for tonight's Big Game 46. Okay, let's go down on the field now. Jacob Grant.
All right, Jake, let's grab the coach.
How do you feel about your defensive play?
Defense was outstanding. It saved us tonight, honestly, and everybody saw it. Our offense couldn't get the ball moving. We had a lot of confusion. Napa played their hearts out. More power to them. And it's one of those games I tell the kids, doesn't matter who's playing, the records are out the window in these kind of games. And Napa played, they deserve to win as much as us. We made another play, but hats off to them for playing their hearts out, and hats off to my kids for playing well enough to get a win.
Your defensive backfield seemed to me the most impressive part of the game today. Have you been working on their scheming so far these last weeks to try to counter Napa?
Well, yeah, but not for the pass. We expected the run from Brock all week, and unfortunately Brock was hurt, and he's a great talent, great athlete, and very well could have been a different game. We'll never know, but we had schemes for him. So when he's not in, we went back to actually what we normally run, and the kids, the best thing is they executed it. They executed against, you know, the pass plays.
Good to hear, and we'll look forward to seeing some of them on varsity next year.
Thanks, Coach.
Okay, well, that reference to Brock was Brock Bowers, who injured his ankle on Monday in practice. So that was too bad because he was so impressive in that freshman game a week ago Thursday.
Yeah, I was looking forward to seeing him, Ira. That was going to be fun, and here comes the Napa High varsity team. Ira, and I I love it. The JV game, Vintage's home gate tonight, and they usually wear the colored jerseys. And so in our JV game, we had the Vintage in all white, white tops over white bottoms, and then Napa High in their blue tops over the white. Now in the varsity game, we have Vintage in all burgundy, burgundy over burgundy, and Napa's coming out with white over the white pants, it looks like. So it's just the opposite of the JV game. This is, we might be able to see these numbers tonight, Dino.
All right, we'll wrap it up here after Dino comes in with the statistics on our little big game won by the Vintage Crushers 14-6.
So for the scoring, it was just 7-0 Vintage at halftime. Napa scored on the first play of the fourth quarter. Trey Dennis running the ball in from a yard out. But they tried for the two-point conversion, running the same play out of the same formation. It got stuffed, and it was 7-6. And Napa never was able to equalize. And finally, it was Vintage scoring. Barrett intercepting and running the ball in from 45 yards out, the second of three interceptions he had in the game. That was at 3:16 to go in the fourth quarter. Solis added the point after, and we had our final of 14-6. A very entertaining JV game. Looking at the stats for the Napa JVs, the visitors, for scoreboard purposes, Trey Dennis, 10 carries, 86 yards with a long of 52. He did also score the one touchdown for Napa from a yard out. Other leading ball carriers, Fuentes had 8 carries for 30 yards, Rasmussen 6 for 23, Brayton had 3 for 14. Altogether for Napa, 30 rushes, 153 yards. That's 5.1 yards per rush. Rasmussen struggled passing, 0 for 6, 3 interceptions. Altogether for the Indians, 36 offensive plays, 153 total yards. For the Vintage Crushers, this is fascinating. The Crushers had the million-dollar backfield going. They had the tailback, the fullback, and the quarterback. They're the only ones who carried the ball. Three bodies had all the carries for Vintage. It was Mauricio Castro picking up 103 yards on 19 carries. He scored from 5 yards out on one of his runs. Eid had 10 carries for 48 yards. And Bradley, the quarterback, 7 carries for 22 yards. For Vintage, 36 rushes, 173 yards. That is 4.8 yards per carry. And Bradley completed 2 of 4 for 34 yards, with Eid catching one and Bartlett catching a ball. For Vintage, 40 offensive plays, 207 yards, 5.2 yards per offensive play. Team stats were very even. Napa had 6 first downs. Vintage had 9. Napa converted only 1 of 6 on third down. Vintage converted only 1 out of 5 on third down. Vintage failed on their 2 fourth down tries. Napa failed on their 1 fourth down try. Napa only punted the ball once in this game. But the Napa Indians had 5 turnovers, 2 lost fumbles, 3 interceptions. The Crushers had just 1 lost fumble. There weren't a lot of penalties. Napa had 4 for 30 yards. Vintage had 4 for 47. But it seemed like almost every penalty was just a gut-crunching penalty, if that's a word. Either negating a big play or giving the other team an extra chance. But ultimately, Vintage, by making fewer mistakes and playing good fundamental football, comes out with a 14-6 game, a 14-6 win in what was, I thought, a very entertaining game.
Well, second consecutive year for that Vintage 14-6 victory. Two wins in a row now for the Vintage JVs. Napa had won 6 in a row before that time. So we have, as far as the meetings between Napa and Vintage now, the freshmen for Napa won, the JVs from Vintage won. We'll see what happens in big game for the varsity.
Just as you called it, Ira, this is be the rubber match, if you will, as far as this year of all three games. And it's going to be, I think we're going to see the same type of ball game. I'll be surprised if we see a high-scoring game. I'm looking for a low-scoring game with both defenses, a Vintage and Napa controlling the ball, if you will. The front three for Vintage, the front three for Napa are just extremely talented and play very good football. So it's going to be a defensive struggle. And it's going to come to what Dino says earlier. Who's going to not turn the ball over? That's a ball possession is going to be big, and execution and ball control. So I think the team with the less turnovers wins this game.
Look at it this way. The teams are so even, running the same type of plays, and they know each other's offense and defensive setups so well that they know what the other team is thinking.
They sure do, Ira. They know each other. They've grown up together. The coaches grew up together, and the coaches from both staffs, you know, they've coached at each other's schools. A number of coaches on Vintage have coached at Napa and vice versa. And so they do know the plays, and they know what's coming, and it's just who can execute it. That's what it's going to come down to is execution and ball control, no turnovers.
Well, let's quickly select players of the game for this JV contest, and then we'll move right into varsity action. So, Kent, you want to lead it off?
Well, for Vintage, you know, Dino hit it right on the head. Who do you go with? You go with Bryce Eade? Do you go with Castro? Do you go with the quarterback? I tell you, I really like those guys on defense too. The front three for Vintage, but I'm gonna Dino. I'm gonna go with Bryce Eade just for his defensive efforts as well as offensive efforts. Castro is definitely an obvious choice, and nothing against Castro. Maurice Castro ran hard. But I like the way Bryce Eade played at the fullback spot and the linebacker spot. And he's the extra point holder, too, on the PAT.
Okay. And
defensively, I really liked Savala and, of course, Bartlett. I'm gonna give it to Bartlett. Three interceptions. And, the final one was probably not as critical, but the first two were key. One prevented a touchdown, one created a touchdown. So I'm going to give it to him.
Okay, well, let's see if our sideline reporter is still with us. Jacob Grant, can you come in with – there he is.
So, actually, I would have said – in the beginning, I would have said Kyle Jezecki, but he kind of was just sloughing it off on some of those passing plays. Where he was a receiver that resulted in some interceptions. And defensively, I would have said the cornerback, Harrison Barrett. I'm going to go Thomas Rogerson. He seemed to be doing a pretty good job defensively on his assignments and taking up some of the slack that the other guys were creating.
Okay, well, I'm going to go with Harrison Barrett. I thought his three interceptions led the way for the Crushers. So that's going to wrap up our coverage of the Little Big Game. Stay tuned. We'll be coming right back in a few moments with the varsity action from Memorial Stadium in Napa, California. Next up, Big Game number 46.